Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to another week. I'm your host, Roger B. It is a good week. Got a lot of things going on here. Want to do a little recap from last week. We talked about some issues and how you could make a difference on it, who you could contact. You could contact people on your city council, or you could contact your representatives at the state level for the state issue that we talked about. And then also we reviewed on how to contact your senators or your representative. Remember, you can look those up either at senate.gov or house.gov. Or if you want to look up both together on one page that's really convenient, you can check out govtrack.us. GovTrack, gov like government, G-O-V, and then track.us. All right, good deals. A good deal. All right, so let's start out with a segment of taking action reporting. Little take action reports is what I'd like to call it. So I told you that last week I had not taken action, and that, basically repenting for that, saying, hey, sorry I haven't either. I'm going to do something this next week. So I did. And let me just type up something here real quick just for the end of the show. All right, good deal. So, I contacted the city council member for my area. He wasn't available. I left a message. And then I did contact, by the way, that was Hal Miller, here for the Provost City Council in the southeast area of town, a little bit of southwest, but mainly southeast. And then also I contacted Dave Sewell, who is one of the two city council members that represents citywide, the entire city. And I actually had a conversation with him tonight. It went pretty good. I told him what I thought about the moratorium that was discussed at the work session a week ago. So that would have been April 7th, the city council work session, that the city councilman Hal Miller brought up a motion or a discussion to have a hold on enforcing that law in just a couple of subdivisions or developments. And latest news on that I heard is from my neighborhood chair, Dave Connect. Talked with him tonight. He's actually kind enough to call to let me know what was going on. He said at the meeting yesterday, the 2030 vision meeting for the three neighborhoods in southeast Provo. There's more than that, but at least three neighborhoods that here in our part of town. There's more than three is what I'm saying in the southeast quadrant, but three of them in the southeast quadrant, they're meeting together about it. So anyways, at the meeting yesterday, said that from what I understood, that moratorium is going to be lifted, so they're going to start enforcing it again. I need to call community development, speak with somebody there because they're in charge of zoning enforcement to find out when that's going to go back into effect. And then also they suggested that the private citizens there form their own committee to help get that law changed. And so I'm going to join up that committee. I'm going to contact one of the people on it. And if you have a story about that, by the way, let's say that, in the past or maybe currently, you didn't know that there's a limit of three unrelated single adults per home. That's in most of the city. There's a few areas that are zoned higher, like apartments that can have up to six people in them. But for the rest of the city, most houses or condos, you can only have a limit of three, even if it's a four-bedroom house. So if you've been personally affected by that or know someone that is, please either give us a call on the show tonight or give me a call personally. My cell phone number is 801-356-1032. If you want to call to talk about it on the show, the call-in number is 347-426-3948. All right, let me check the switchboard here, see if we've got anybody that has called in. No, we don't, but I understand that we're going to have Sidekick Sean reappear tonight. Be looking forward to that segment. All right, so moving along here on the items for this week's show. Remember last week I told you about ProvoPeoplesLobby.com. provopeopleslobby.com. You can see that on the website there, here for tonight's show. It looks like we just got a call in. Looks like that's Sean. Let me go ahead and patch through Sean. Just a moment. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Roger.
Hey,
Roger. How's it going, my friend?
Hey, it's doing pretty good. Thanks for calling in to tonight's show. I understand you have some info that you'd like to share. commentary of some sorts.
This might be my critical minute here, which could turn into
Sean
a critical minute. So.
Okay. Just as long as end we follow it up with how the people can take action to make a difference on the problem.
You know, what I'm going to talk about tonight is kind of the bigger picture on things. I will talk about how we can take action, although, because I do believe action can be taken about this issue and several others. So obviously, hi America, today's tax day, right? Probably everyone's favorite day ever.
Oh, yeah. Yes, totally. Not?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, who doesn't love paying taxes? Me. And probably everybody listening to this and far beyond that. You know, here's my thing about that. So I'm not going to just go off about this, that, and the other, because let's be honest, no one likes to pay taxes, but I'm not here to rant about that, because any talk show host can tell you taxes stink, because they do. But here's actually what I did want to talk about. I actually wanted to talk about something that happened to me when I was filing my taxes this year, and something that I'd like to address, which I think is really interesting. So a part of the reason that I think a lot of people don't like taxes is because we don't know where the money goes when we have to pay Uncle Sam. We don't know what it's spent on. Our country's in trillions of dollars of debt. Is this even making a difference? You know? And so one of the things that I actually saw when I was filling out taxes, it was actually state taxes. But the interesting thing is, this law that I'm about to discuss addresses not only the state of Utah, but it addresses 45 of the 50 states in the United States. And that is the use tax. And some of you might be familiar with that. When you're filling out your taxes, it asks you, I'd actually, until I had done it on TurboTax, I hadn't had the entire law explained to me before, and I didn't know what it was. But it's a law that I think actually needs to be badly repealed. And here's why. So when you go to fill out your taxes, the use tax, what it does is it says, for any money that you basically spend out of state, your state wants to tax you on it. Now, what they say are, the stipulations are this, that the money you spend, like, let's say you go to a state that has a lower sales tax. Well, you're supposed to keep track of any purchase you make in those states and then add the difference when you file your Utah taxes to pay the difference on it, which I think is just horribly ridiculous for several reasons.
What about online?
I think it's an invasion of privacy is really what I think of. And, yes, online is counted in that as well. So
I remember yesterday. I was just going to say, I got asked that question, too, when I was filling out my taxes yesterday, and I had to go to Amazon.com and look at my order history for last year, and then I had to get that total. I saw that they hadn't collected any sales tax whatsoever, and so then I multiplied it by the 6.75% rate for the county that we're in, and added that to my tax info, and then it took the money out.
Yep. And, you know, the thing about that is, really, what this law does is it penalizes honest people. Let's be real about it, right? Because a lot of other people would just click the no. It was either a yes or no question, and a lot of people just click the no because, number one, who really keeps track of all their expenses unless it's an online account where you can actually keep track of it? You know, if I went to Morgan and I bought something there and they don't have any sales tax, am I really supposed to keep track of everything like that and at the end of the year come back to the table and say, oh, yeah, I bought something for $10 over there. Well, I guess I better pay the state of Utah taxes on that. I think it's ridiculous. Now, I see why the law exists, because they want to try and protect businesses because they're losing a lot of sales to things online where they don't have sales tax. I completely understand that. But the problem is that there's no limits in place. It's kind of like the you know, when we talk about the law in regards to zoning laws, you know, they set a blanket statement like, oh, well, it's, you can't have more than three unrelated people in a house. Well, they don't take into account the size of the house, the number of bedrooms it has, does it have enough parking? Because if a house legitimately had five bedrooms and had five parking stalls, who is the state or the city to say you can't rent that to five different people? You know, I don't believe that's right. Again, it's stepping over personal rights and property laws. Well, I see the use tax being one of those laws that oversteps its boundaries, crosses into your personal life and says, oh, well, we want to keep track of the money you spend in other places. That's not right. If I go to another state and buy something, there's no reason the state of Utah should have any claim to that whatsoever at all. You know, and I think it's very frustrating. Again, I see why the law was put in place, but the problem is the other thing is it doesn't incentivize people to be honest. You know, it's so much easier just to say no to that question. No one's going to follow up with you. No one's going to audit you. No one's going to come after you. But if you're honest, you got to pay. And I think that's the problem with the system. And so kind of my ending on that, the rant that I'm going off on here is the fact that, you know, I think we the people need to step up and say, look, we do believe in protecting businesses, and we do believe in, you know, spending your own money in state, but we shouldn't be penalized if we spend it out of state. And we definitely shouldn't have to keep track of it for the government's sake. That's none of the government's business. Where I spend my money is where I spend my money. I have every right to spend my money on any place I want to, you know. And so I think people really need to speak up about this issue. And again, it's a law. I did some research on it because I was so frustrated about it. And it's actually a law that in 45 of the 50 states, they have a use tax law. But again, there's no way that they can enforce it. And the only thing it does is penalize honest people. And the thing is, too, there's no buffer. There's nothing like, oh, up to your first $1,000 spent, you know, like out of state or online is, you know, we just look past that and then go into anything. Again, it's if I spend $10 in Oregon, you want me to pay sales tax on it in Utah. But I just think it's ridiculous. And so I think that, again, like, I don't see it being repealed anytime soon because no state wants to lose tax laws. But at the same time, I think if they're not going to repeal it, then we need to do some things to make it more fair, kind of like the zoning law where it's just a blanket rule for three when they don't take anything else into consideration, which is just wrong. And so I think that there need to be things taken into consideration for the use tax, like, again, like up to your first, you know, $500 or $1,000 or something. Because a lot of people, you go on summer vacations, things like that, you'll buy stuff out of state. No one's going to keep track of that. Come on. This is just a nickel and diming law. So there needs to be some things put in place that, you know, help honest people be honest. And I think if we reach out to, you know, protecting honest people's conscience, essentially, as my wife would say, and, you know, we need to write into our senators, our local, you know, your local leaders who actually make the laws, and I'm not talking your big senators, like, even though I think they should know about it, they do probably, but your local representatives at the state legislature, your local senators and representatives, they're the ones that are actually going to be writing the laws or rewriting the laws. And so if we reach out to them, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, how do we contact them, our state legislators?
Well, there's lots of ways to do that. I think you do a great job at broadcasting that on on the show here and also on the site that you have as well. You know, there's, you know, actually just here in Provo, I can't speak for other cities, but for Provo, I know that if you go onto the, I think it's maps.provo.org, and you look up your address, it'll actually show you who the representatives are for your area, not just your like your city councilman, but it'll actually show you your state legislatures as well.
Yeah, your state senator and your state representative. We have one of
them. Yep, exactly. And I'm sure other cities, other cities throughout Utah, there are ways to get that information as well from those. I can't speak.
There is.
I live in Provo, but there's other ways. Like the state isn't the state of Utah, like vote.gov or something like that, you can look up your address and it'll show you where you vote, who your representatives are.
Yeah, I don't know if it shows your representatives there, but it does show where you vote. So for all you listeners that are in a different city, anywhere in Utah, where you go is LE, stands for legislature, le.utah, all spelled out, .gov. So le.utah.gov. Then on the navigation column on the left, you click on legislatures or hover over legislators, and then that'll pop out a little menu, and on that menu, you click find by address. And then on find by address, you just enter in your street number, street name, don't put your city, and then just put your zip code, and it will tell you who those two people are, and also their phone number and their email address. So I encourage you all to do that. That is a good idea, Sean. I had not thought about that a lot. I just remember the last 2 years I haven't enjoyed doing that. We are running out of time here. We're more than halfway through the show. But, hey, I appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate your time. Thank you for letting me get that off my chest. Get that out on the air. More people need to recognize that we, the people, are the ones who decide things, not a few people who rule at the top. Like, we, the people, have a voice, and we need to make it known on whatever issue it might be.
Yeah, I agree. I also encourage people, you know, don't have time to discuss it right now. I don't have an idea myself yet, but think of some sort of solution of changing that law. It's always good when you contact your legislators to, if you don't like a law, to give a suggestion on how, you know, how they could repeal it and what it could be replaced with, things like that. Or, you know, give your arguments if you think it should just be plain repealed, and, you know, if you don't think there needs to be anything put in its place. I'll tell you one thing that is the most daunting, I think, that takes the most time for any legislator, at least I know at the local level here in Provo City, and I imagine it's the same at the state level as well as national, is their reviewing of the budgets that are submitted to them by the chief executive, you know, the governor of the state, the mayor for local, or the president. That's got to take an incredible amount of time. And so if money doesn't come from one place, then either they have to cut a program or they have to raise money in another place. And yeah, I'm all for lowering taxes, but those kind of things, they'll want to hear your ideas on when you give them ideas. Or, you know, hey, let's cut the money and look, this is how much we'll lose and this is where we can afford to cut back on. So yeah, thanks again. Next item on tonight's show, just going to remind you about ProvoPeople'sLobby.com. Tonight at midnight is the deadline for the first round of submitting an idea to the city council that will actually get a hearing before the city council, a public hearing on changing one of the Provo City laws. Pretty exciting. Highly encourage you to go there. Have to confess, I have not submitted my proposal there yet. It has to do with the limit of three per home, three unrelated people. But I promise you, you're going to see it there tonight. That's actually what I'm going to be working on after this show is over. Another thing that I wanted to talk about tonight that is a local issue is water conservation. If you haven't heard, the snowpack levels, I don't know what it is with today's storm, yesterday and today's, but I know about a week ago I heard that it was around 40% of normal for this time of the year, and that we're looking at facing a pretty serious drought this summer if we don't get a handle on that. So one idea is that you can contact your legislators on that. Give them an idea on how we could encourage water conservation. For example, tonight I talked with Dave Connect. Again, he's my neighborhood chair, and he told me that he saw at a meeting yesterday for the southeast part of Provo that the people that work for the city, that they weren't aware that in part of the city code that it doesn't allow you to have enough natural landscaping, xeriscaping. In other words, not having to have, you know, a nice lush green lawn, but allowing you to have other things on your lawn. Say, for example, what if you want to have a desert landscape where you just have gravel and rocks and things like that? The current city code, I think, something like 60%. It depends on the area and part of town. I think it's mostly the same citywide, but there are some special corridors, like, for example, the South State Street corridor in Southeast Provo, that seems to have different different allowances. But yeah, he brought up the point that the mulching that they've done, instead of grass along the whole way, just having wood chips or mulch, so that's in violation of their own code, which they weren't aware of. So anyways, I encourage you to call your city council members. This is not just a Provo issue. This is statewide for all of Utah. Utah is the second driest state in the nation, I heard a while back, the averages for past years, going back a long time. And if you live in Provo, you can go to provo.org/council, find your council members' info there. For example, the two citywide people, one of them is Gary Garrett. His phone number is 801-471-9191, or you can email him at ggarrett@provo.org. Again, you can look up that info at provo.org/council. Just click on Meet the Council and scroll down. The two citywide people are at the bottom of the list. The other five represent certain areas of town. And then the second citywide, technically he's citywide District 1, this next guy. Gary Garrett was citywide 2, but it really doesn't make any difference. They're both citywide. Anyways, Dave Sewell, you can call him if you have input on that for adjusting Provo City Code to make it encourage water conservation. And his number is 801-380-5103. If you get any of the city council members' voicemail, leave a message or email them, and they'll definitely call you back. I believe they're pretty good on that. Haven't heard anything ever bad about that. I know that they seem to be really responsive people and trying to communicate with citizens when they call. All right, good deal. So we are running out of time here. So check out ProvoPeoplesLobby.com again. That's on the website. You'll find the link there. So check this out. Have you seen the movie Freetown? Freetown? Freetown is a city in West Africa, and it's a pretty awesome story. It is a movie that is made on a real-life situation, real-life story that happened to some LDS missionaries. LDS is short for Members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so the last three words, Latter-day Saints, LDS. Anyways, pretty harrowing experience where civil war broke out and the native missionaries there had to flee across the border to a neighboring country. If you look in the church magazine called The Ensign in June of 2014, you can read the original story, the true story. The movie embellishes a few parts, but it stays pretty much true to the spirit of the story. It's really good. It's in theaters this week, last week, and this week. You can go to Cinemark.com or MegaplexTheaters.com to find a time in a theater near you. Highly recommend it. I'm going back to see it a second time here sometime soon before it leaves theaters next week. All right, good deal. So state issue, besides water conservation, because you want to contact your state legislators on that, again, you can go to the website le.utah.gov and then click on legislators, and then find by address, give them a call, let them know what you think about that. So not only the tax issue on the use tax, but also water conservation in the state code. Pretty much a local city issue, but it couldn't hurt to call them also. All right, next thing is tomorrow morning, there is the Great Shakeout. No, it's not shaking it off or shaking it out. It's an earthquake shake. That would be pretty bad. That would be crazy. I remember feeling an earthquake here in Utah in the past. Kind of woke me up. It was really small. It was down distant in central Utah, but it was enough to remember to shake the sofa. Anyways, so that's tomorrow. That's at 10:15 or 10 a.m. something. Look it up. Do a search online for Utah Great Shakeout, and there's ideas there on how you can participate. If you don't have the time to participate at that time of the day, then make sure you do that with your family or even with your friends that you live with when you get home. If you don't live with family, do that. Talk about where you would meet if you had to evacuate your home. Where outside would be a meeting point. you know, things like that. Make an emergency plan. If you don't have a lot of food saved up, you know, for, you know, enough to last you through a disaster, and who knows how long it would be without power, you know, 3 days, 7 days, maybe a month or longer. And don't feel overwhelmed by thinking you have to buy all this food. Just every time you go grocery shopping, buy a few items. Slowly stock up on it, you know. Unless you've got, you know, excess money, you know, savings saved up where you could buy a lot at once, just do it a little bit at a time. All right, so the next thing I wanted to talk about is a little comedy story. We are getting close to the wire here. We've got less than 4 minutes left. But I thought of this story tonight because I actually ran into the person. At least, I'm pretty sure. Not 100% sure. I didn't have time to ask him. I didn't think, actually, to ask at the time. So check this out. Back when I was living south of campus, south of BYU, me and my buddy, my roommate, Graham, he invited me to go to his family reunion water skiing party that's at a local reservoir at Deer Creek up the canyon. And so we went, and we both got dates. And, yeah, it was kind of weird, you know, going to his family's reunion and bringing a date. Plus, to, you know, I only know, like, one of his brothers. But anyway, so we were there. It was fun. We went water skiing. Some stranger came up to our group, you know, the family reunion group, and asked if he could go on the boat water skiing with us. And so somebody let him, I don't remember who. Anyways, he was driving while I was water skiing. He was the boat driver, boat operator. And man, that was crazy. That guy sped big time. And I just remember wrecking and really hurting. If you've ever wrecked hard on the water, sit down on the water while you're moving like 35 miles per hour, yeah, you know what I mean. You might know what I mean. It can cause some pain. Anyways, check this out. On the way home, my roommate, he accidentally locked his keys in the car, so we had to get a ride with this guy back into downtown Provo, and then I drove my roommate back to, you know, with the spare keys. Anyways, it was pretty funny. On the way down, I actually kind of feel bad telling this story now because I'm just laughing at this guy. It's one of those stories. I'm not going to say the name. I never will. But he was driving really fast through the canyon, and he told us that he had rolled. He had wrecked a car just like a month before that. And we were like, dude, you need to slow down. And I was in the front seat with him because I didn't want my date to sit in the front seat with a stranger. And so I just remember my roommate was in the back with both sisters, with both girls, our dates, and he put his arms around both of them because we're like, we're getting scared. Anyways, funny story. Let's laugh at the funny part of it. Hopefully that brother is a much safer driver now. All right, so I'm going to give you a council meeting recap on future Wednesdays because next Tuesday's a council meeting. It starts at 5 p.m. at City Hall. The following Wednesday, next Wednesday, I'll tell you what went down at that council meeting. But that is it for tonight. Appreciate you listening. Please do spread the word. If you want to do advertising on the show, please do give me a call. I'm Roger Brown, 801-356-1032. Again, thanks for listening in tonight, you all. If you have any good ideas, please do contact me. Leave a Facebook message there on the blogtalkradio.com/whatshappening site. You can leave comments there. We check those. And hope you have a great night, good week, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Peace out.